If anybody can, thank you. All right. So I thought we should just start by a mention of what is at the forefront of everyone's mind in the big picture, which is that the Jewish people are currently at war. We have in our tefillot the chatufim, all of the captives, the hostages that we're praying for their return. Of course, we're praying for peace in Eretz Israel and for the Jewish people across the world. We're praying for the safe return of all of our soldiers, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, cousins, et cetera, who are in harm's way. And I think that's in everybody's mind. I know that would be in the rabbi's mind as well, and was, I'm sure, until his last moments. So I find myself with the dubious honor or privilege of beginning this memorial. Many of you have probably already heard, seen, or read the tributes that I've offered for Rabbi Rosenthal, either because you saw the funeral, the original levaya, or because you had the opportunity to read the hesped that I prepared in writing. I hope that some people did, or I hope that everyone did. I'm going to actually put a link to it in the chat here for everybody at some point in the next hour, so that anyone who would like to read it, I really encourage everybody to do so. I don't want to repeat much of what I've already said for those who've already heard it, and on the other hand, I don't want to omit anything really critical that I would want everyone to hear that would complete the picture. So to find a happy medium between the two, I'm going to hopefully share that link so everyone can feel encouraged to take a look at it. I can start just by saying what I think everybody knows, that Rabbi Rosenthal, at least in my life, was a towering figure, an enormous influence, and the beginning and end of my involvement in Judaism and in Torah for the past 33 years that I had the great privilege of knowing him. And I had the privilege not only of knowing him, but of spending a tremendous amount of time with him, not only in school, but also outside of school. And even until recently, even until, even after my aliyah to Israel, had the opportunity to see him and spend time with him. And I consider that a great zechut. I know that Rabbi Rosenthal had a lot of students. I don't know how many of those students got the chance to listen to WEVD with him on a Friday afternoon in a car ride, or who had the opportunity to accompany him to a haircut. It was for him, not for me. Back then, I still did need haircuts. But or who vacuumed the floor with him on a Friday afternoon, or any of those other things that that I had the chance to do, which was just and have conversations all along the way and be able to just experience his presence in that informal way. We searched for chametz and task together. I mean, we did all kinds of just random activities that from which I was able to learn so much. So it's not just a it's not just a formal relationship of student teacher, although it was that. It went way beyond that, and the more that I've reflected in the past 5 weeks, the more that I've realized, I've come to recognize that really he was there was so much of his influence over things that I do, things that I say, things that I shared, stories that I tell, even jokes that I tell that I heard from him. That I took for granted, and only now I think because I'm forced to think about it, because I can't take it for granted anymore, because I know that I won't have more of those experiences to accumulate, unfortunately, in this life. So I've begun to realize I mention him all the time, whether it's to my students, to my children, or just in the course of my own learning, think about something that he said or that he would have said, or he would really like this point, or he would find this interesting, or I have to ask him about this next time we have the opportunity to talk. All those things, there's just an infinity of them. And I think I never realized how much, and just over the past 5 weeks, how many times I've opened up to learn something with somebody else and realized, oh, Rabbi Rosenthal said something about this, or this reminds me, I actually learned this with him, or discussed this with him one time, or he made this observation, or he would have probably said this, or he would have liked this, or he wouldn't have liked that. how much he plays a role in my life in terms of learning, and how much he impacted me in the way that that I live. But as I've already mentioned many, many times, and I don't want to exclude it or omit it, and yet I don't want to belabor it too much because I know it's a well-known thing. Obviously, I came to the Torah Academy with nothing from a Jewish perspective, from a learning perspective. I really came with as little as your average Suffolk County Hebrew school graduate would have, except that I was motivated. I liked Hebrew school. I guess I had that in common with Rabbi Rosenthal from his youth, that we both liked Hebrew school, but that was it. I really knew nothing. And he built me up from zero to everything that I am now, including something I didn't mention at the Levaya, but I did mention in the written Hesped that many people don't know this, but the fact that I even got smicha was because of Rabbi Rosenthal. We used to have chavruta very, very early in the morning on Shabbat mornings at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning or something like that while he was living in Northport. And during the summer vacations or during the school vacations, we both were working in task at that time with the middle school. And okay, during that time, I would have the opportunity to learn with him. I would go over and learn with him. And every day he would say, have you spoken to Rabbi Chait yet? Have you spoken to Rabbi Chait yet? Have you arranged with Rabbi Chait yet? Are you going to do the b'china yet for smicha? And I would say to him, I don't need that. I'm becoming a psychologist. You know, I'm going for my doctorate. That's not my focus right now. You know, it's a, what do I need a piece of paper for? Learning is lishma. We do it for its own sake. But he really insisted and insisted and insisted. And he was also working the back channels as well, unbeknownst to me at the time. And one thing led to another. And I felt, look, I can't say no to Rabbi Rosenthal. I really had a difficult time ever saying no to him. And so I surrendered. I gave in and I went and took the exam. And obviously the rest is history. Just a few years later, my entire professional direction changed and I ended up becoming a rabbi by profession, which is what I've been doing for over 20 years. And I wouldn't have even had the piece of paper to justify that had it not been for the encouragement and the cajoling of Rabbi Rosenthal, that he wouldn't let it go. He insisted that it was very, very critical for me to do that. And thankfully, in retrospect, I listened to him. And so he was responsible for that as well. But even just every time I sit down to learn with my kids, or every time I speak in any venue or teach Torah on any venue, it wouldn't be happening. It literally wouldn't be happening had it not been for his influence and his role opening the school, not just opening the school. Opening the school, he benefited many people, but he also just inspired me with a love of the journey of learning. And to be able to impart that, because you can have a lot of teachers that teach you material or content or on an intellectual level really influence you and give you a lot of ideas. But the love of learning that came from him, 100%, and the sense of the endlessness of it. And if I've been able to convey that to students, and I've now had hundreds and hundreds of students, whether it's my students that I teach directly in person or those who listen to me online, it doesn't even matter. All of them, all of my kids, they're learning what they've learned. The fact that they're living life, an observant life, a Jewish life, all of it is directly a result of Rabbi Rosenthal and all that he did. So I've said that before, and I've been aware of that for a long time. But I wanted to share with you with all of you a Gemara from Masechet Bava Metzia. That really, when I was thinking about what can I share that's new in connection with Rabbi Rosenthal, not to repeat what I've said before, there's so much, I could spend hours, but just to pick out something that I think captures an aspect of who he was. There's a story in Bava Metzia, and Bava Metzia speaks about teaching and learning and the importance of teaching others. And in the course of that Gemara, it talks about a little story about Reish Lakish, that he was looking for the graves. He was looking at the graves of the rabbis. And he wasn't able to find the grave of Rabbi Chiya. And he thought that maybe I don't have the merit to be able to visit the grave of Rabbi Chiya. And the Gemara says that he felt sort of inferior. And Hashem said to him, Even though he said, maybe I haven't learned Torah on the level of Rabbi Chiya, so I'm not able to find the grave of Rabbi Chiya. And it says that Hashem said to him, a voice came and said to him, you learned like Rabbi Chiya, but you didn't spread Torah like Rabbi Chiya. You weren't marbitz Torah like Rabbi Chiya. And the story goes, the Gemara goes on and says that when Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chiya would argue, sometimes Rabbi Chanina would say to Rabbi Chiya, you think you're going to be able to outwit me or out-argue me? If the entire Torah was lost from the Jewish people, I would be able to restore it because I'm so sharp, I'd be able to do it. And Rabbi Chiya said, that might be true that you're very sharp, but because of me, because of my efforts, the Torah won't be forgotten. So we won't need to come to that. And what were the efforts of Rabbi Chiya? So it says, what were the efforts of Rabbi Chiya? He says, what do I do? I go and I sow flax seeds and I make nets and then I catch deer. And I slaughter the deer and I feed the meat of the deer to orphans. And then I take the skin of the deer and I write Sifrei Torah on the skin of the deer. And then I go to places, to cities that have children that don't have an education. I teach five children Chumash. And then I teach six children the six orders of Mishnah. And then I tell them, you guys teach each other until I come back. So five children, and each one of the children learns one of the Chumashim. Each one of the six children learns one of the Sidrei Mishnah. That's what it seems to be. And then they would teach each other, and that's how they would propagate and continue the Torah from place to place. The idea being that it wasn't enough for Rabbi Chiya to learn with his colleagues and to advance in his own understanding, but he extended himself to ensure the continuity of Torah. And this is really something that Rabbi Rosenthal dedicated his life to. He was all about, and it didn't matter. And the idea of teaching Chumash and teaching Mishnah, the most basic things. It wasn't beneath him to sit with a child and learn the most basic fundamentals, because he knew that what he was doing, he was lighting a spark that was going to continue, that was going to develop into a flame, that was going to continue the light of Torah for generations. And so many of us can say that we are the direct beneficiaries of that. I wanted to conclude with one more very short story about Rabbi Rosenthal that very few people know this. Possibly nobody knows this story, or nobody remembers it. But this was in the hallowed lounge of the Torah Academy of yesteryear. We were sitting in the Torah Academy lounge. I don't remember who was there. And even if I did, I wouldn't share their identities for reasons that will become apparent in what I'm about to say. There was a conversation happening in the lounge of the Torah Academy that was not glatt kosher. It wasn't of the highest caliber conversation. Let's put it that way. It was a little bit of a lowbrow discussion going on in there. And a secret that some of us knew was that you could hear everything, everything from the rabbi's office to the lounge. There was no sound barrier. The wall had no sound barrier. So any word you said in the lounge would be heard in the rabbi's office. So there's this conversation going on. And meanwhile, Rabbi Rosenthal walks into the lounge in the middle of this conversation, ostensibly from his office, where he was listening to this content. And he said, "See no evil, hear no evil." And then he walked out. And I thought that was just everything that we all needed to hear at that moment. It was everything that Rabbi Rosenthal was. On one hand, he gave us a little bit of a lesson in appropriateness, but without judgment, without shaming anybody, without anybody feeling bad, just bringing to our attention that he could hear everything that we were saying in the most unobtrusive way possible. And this was really Rabbi Rosenthal, that for all of his great learning, and the more you learned with him, the more you realized that he knew, he was too self-effacing and too humble to make any kind of a spectacle of all that he knew. As great he was in learning, he was not judgmental of those who knew less, and he welcomed and embraced every student at whatever level they were. and nudged them forward. And I think that many of us, especially in those early days, we couldn't appreciate what Rabbi Rosenthal was talking about. A lot of times he spoke over our heads. And it was only much later that we came to appreciate what he was trying to teach. But he never would make a person feel less for the level that they were at that moment. He was bringing us along, step by step, along a journey, along a path to reach our full potential. And that was the greatness of Rabbi Rosenthal as an educator. And I certainly hope that in the years to come, we'll have more and more opportunities to memorialize him and Yahrzeit, Shiurim of the Yahrzeit, that I've thought about a possibility of setting something up, Be'ofen Kavua, something we can do year by year to remember him, something that he would appreciate and that would honor his legacy, because it's something exponential. It's something that will continue to expand itself and feed itself for generations to come. There will be people 100 years from now and 200 years from now who are observing Torah and mitzvot and learning because of Rabbi Rosenthal. And that is, in his words, as he would say, an amazing thing, but really an incredible thing that he accomplished in his self-effacing, quiet, humble way and all the sacrifices that he made. And hopefully we can deserve those, earn those sacrifices by and be feel that we are really worthy of them by continuing his legacy on and making every effort to do that. I know that on this chat now is the next speaker is supposed to be Rabbi Mordechai Loiderman. Is he on with us? Ah, he is. Now, Rabbi Loiderman, I just want to say as an introduction, okay, was, if you'll permit me, also a first mentor of mine when I started in the Torah Academy in ninth grade, somebody that I really looked up to. He was a senior, if I'm not mistaken, at the time, and somebody I really looked up to as a learner and somebody that I probably bothered a lot to take time out to learn with me and to help me to learn the ropes of when I was just getting introduced to the world of Jewish studies and of Torah. And so I owe him also a great debt of gratitude. I also spent many meaningful Shabbatot and Chagim with his family over the years. And so it's a real great honor to be hearing from him. And I'm going to do my best to manage this this Zoom thing. Hold on. I think I can put you. There we go.
I think I'm good. So I'm thrilled that I have the opportunity to jump in. I don't have a tremendous amount that I want to share beyond what we just heard. I think that that's a really incredible insight into the whole piece, the holistic methodology of Rabbi Rosenthal and what he was really able to accomplish, the genius of it and the simplicity of it simultaneously. I wanted to share something that I think was very personal to me. You know, I often these days, what I do for a living now is I'm a head of school in Toronto, and in the yeshiva world, there's a lot of conversation going on these days about mental health and self-esteem, and how come somebody had asked me over Shabbos recently, how come yeshivas don't spend more time worrying about mental health and self-esteem? And I thought to myself that what I found truly remarkable about my experience at Torah Academy and Rabbi Rosenthal is how special he made each and every one of us feel. And I, you know, the collective group that we had came from a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different abilities. And we all somehow came together, and I think we had this amazing team and this amazing friendship that all of us had. And I guess, you know, when we were in it, it all seemed so simple. It all just seemed like, you know, you get to school every day and there's Rabbi Rosenthal, and he's, you know, always worrying about how the bills are going to get paid and how the school is going to continue to operate, and, you know, make sure all the teachers are doing what they're supposed to do. And, you know, he had, you know, his way of, you know, talking with everybody in a way that was on their level. And now that I do what I do, and I worry about paying bills, and I worry about, you know, organizing a school and keeping everything functioning and running, you really start to appreciate the amazing genius that there was in being able to simultaneously be doing something so grand, so important, so complicated, and yet to present something that's so simple, and never losing sight of what's really most important, the students. Because I felt that going to school every day that I was important. And I know that before I went to Torah Academy, I went to a couple of other yeshiva schools, and I know that I didn't feel all that important or all that valuable when I went to some of those other schools. And every day that I went to Torah Academy, I felt like there was a group of friends, and I felt that there was a leader in Rabbi Rosenthal that was truly excited for every success that we had as a school, every success that we individually had in learning, that he just, you know, had a method, a way of knowing that you could see on his face that he was thinking about things that were so complicated, and yet could present them in a way that was so simple that it was like we were all there. We were all on board with him. I was thinking that I remember our Chumash here. They used to sit with us, and I remember just, you know, recently that we were going through we were going through Chumash, and I remember that he had told us that one of his commentaries that he liked to really teach and learn from was the Torah Tmima. And I remember that getting a set of Torah Tmima because he had mentioned that, and learning from the Torah Tmima because of what he had to share. And I think that the common sense approach that is what he wanted to share in what he really loved about the pshat that he would share with us from Torah Tmima. You know, I suppose that the miraculous and amazing thing that made Rabbi Rosenthal so special to me is that this incredible ability to simultaneously be involved with such a wide thing, such a big project of what he was doing, and yet to feel so important and so invaluable to what, you know, whatever simple level a student could be in a school. But each and every one of us felt like we were important, like we were part of his family, like he was proud that we were there with him. And I wanted to just, you know, show a karas hatov for that. I think that there is, without question, there's no way that I would have the confidence, the sense of his self-esteem of to be who I am today, if it weren't for Rabbi Rosenthal and the amazing school that he had put together, the group of friends that we had, the support that we all had for each other, and just this incredible atmosphere, which was just so simple and so complex at the same time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That was wonderful and really resonated. I appreciate it. Our next speaker is Simon Amiel. Is Simon on here? I know Simon not from a connection to Rabbi Rosenthal.
I'm here.
You're here? Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to pin you, but I can't find you. So can you pin yourself?
I don't know. Can I? I don't know if I can pin myself. Is that a thing?
Okay. If you talk and I see who's oh, I see you now. All right. I didn't see you before. Okay, Sam. Yeah. I know Simon just from the Sephardic world. I don't know him from the Seattle world, not from the Rabbi Rosenthal world. So this is a new experience for me. So maybe you can explain a little bit about your connection to Rabbi Rosenthal too, so we can all hear those of us in New York.
Sure. Of course. Irony is now my family and I have lived in Teaneck, New Jersey for the last 4 years. And I pine for those times in Seattle. And so my name is Simon Amiel. I attended the Seattle Hebrew Academy with Rabbi Pinney. And Rabbi Rosenthal was the school principal, the dean, I think he was just referred as the principal when I was young, eight, nine, 10 years old. And I subsequently attended Northwest Yeshiva High School, which was then referred to as Yeshiva, which Rabbi Rosenthal, Alav HaShalom, founded. And so there's no question that Rabbi Rosenthal has had an immense, immense impact on who I am, on what I've done with my life, on major decisions that I've made, even if I'm not thinking, what would Rabbi Rosenthal say? What he established in Seattle was particularly interesting and compelling, and had an impact on a number of us. Seattle was, and to some degree is, a really interesting melting pot of a community. Back then, especially at the Seattle Hebrew Academy, you had students who were Sephardic, Ashkenazic, many students who came from families who were Jews by choice. You had kids who were not observant at all and didn't hide it. And you had students, of course, who were observant, really a significant mix of kids. And I cannot imagine, as somebody who works in the Jewish world and hires many, many people to lead organizations, I cannot imagine an individual, a professional, a rabbi, with the heart and the mind that Rabbi Rosenthal had, that allowed him to successfully maneuver and lead in that institution, in that community at that time. It's not that I know everybody, but I can't imagine that there was someone better suited to lead us and inspire us, kids, adults, et cetera, at that time, given the mix that we had. I actually didn't know until I went to a Shiva call for Rabbi Rosenthal Rabbi Rosenthal's family, that he did not grow up observant. I had no idea. But it doesn't surprise me. And I think, that experience informed much of the rest of his life. And it reflected his ability, as a few others have said already, his ability to really look at everybody, not just with a good countenance, but also a level of, for lack of a better term, I think honor maybe, or he really looked at us, Ba'asher Husham, really like sort of where we were. And valued each of us. And I think that I imagine that that also translated to people who weren't kids that he dealt with all the time. The really outstanding memory that I'm going to bring this perspective again from the perspective of a young child. Rabbi Rosenthal to me was the personification of all the things that I was feeling about being Jewish at that time. He was a source of thought. He was a source of adherence. He was a source of light and energy. He was a source of humor, of warmth, of accepting or acceptedness. And he was the sort of gold standard of what I thought about, and certainly what my family thought about when it came to Jewish decisions, Jewish learning, things of that nature. And so I had this innate reverence for him. Yet, if I was ever called into the principal's office, and maybe it happened once or twice, I can distinctly remember not being nervous, because Rabbi Rosenthal, I think he, would call us in one-on-one, maybe he would refer to us as like kid or something along those lines, where he understood how to connect to us, relate to us in a way where I wasn't thinking about what was going to happen to me when I get home, but rather, what is it that I can take away from this conversation with Rabbi Rosenthal, who I think has my best interests in mind. The last thing I'll share is, throughout my entire life, personally and professionally, one of the primary credos that I live my life by Jewishly is "Ivdu et Hashem besimcha," and there's zero question that much of that is due to the precedent that Rabbi Rosenthal set for me by example as a young child. I grew up in a home without a father. My mother was a first generation American. My grandparents were heavily involved in the Jewish community, but not particularly learned. I didn't have a massive foundation of Jewish learning at home. But I learned quickly that really the only way to do it is with a level of happiness, a level of deep desire to do something that should be meaningful and joyous to you. And that was manifested in a bunch of different ways with Rabbi Rosenthal. But as I brought up to Rabbi Pinney and others, the thing that I will never, ever, ever forget, and the thing that comes to mind at least once a year on Rosh Chodesh Adar, is that Rabbi Rosenthal, who we all saw as, a guy in a suit and tie every single day, would roam the halls of Seattle Hebrew Academy with a trumpet playing "Misha Nichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha," and it was the epitome of what we thought about when we thought about Rabbi Rosenthal. It's like, who the heck is this guy who we revere? And like, now he's playing the trumpet, and we followed him around the school like mice, everywhere he went. And it was just a remarkable show of the fact that he had so many sides that made sense, that we were so connected to, that we really loved and appreciated, even though it might not have hit us till many years later. And it's so clear that for hundreds of us, Rabbi Rosenthal, not just because of what he built, but who he was, has had really a phenomenal, phenomenal impact on all of our lives. So that's really just what I simply want to share.
Thanks, Simon. Our next speaker is my old classmate from yesteryear, Toby, who thankfully we've had the opportunity to stay in touch via Facebook,
Facebook, yes.
but otherwise haven't seen each other in a long time. So great to see you, and the
Yes,
floor is yours.
you too. I'm gonna be brief, but I was part of the first graduating class, and I was there from the very beginning, when Rabbi Rosenthal first started the school. And I haven't seen him. It has to be over 30 years. Not over 30 years, under 30 years, but it's been a really long time. But even though I haven't seen him in so long, his pa when I heard about him passing, it hit me hard, because TASC, the school that he set up, really changed my life. It changed my life. I was not on the best path, and it really was the beginning of just changing the course for me. And he set up this school where really we learned how to think. He really taught us how to think in his class and the environment. It was, really, really just wonderful. And I told my kids, they saw how hard it hit me, and I said, I wouldn't be the mother that I am today without Rabbi Rosenthal. And I really appreciate the assessment of how everyone is, saying how he made you feel special, because he did. He did. He knew us. He knew what we needed. I was in his class, his Chumash class, and it was all in Hebrew, and I had never been in a class before where it was taught all in Hebrew, and I really didn't understand a lot of it. So I went to him. I said, I wanted to change tracks. I said, I don't think I belong here. I don't think this is right for me. And he was like, no. He just said no. There was no explanation, no anything. Just no. And I'm trying to explain. He's like, no. And I think it's because he knew that that was where I belonged. And I did. He was right. He was right. I really did belong there and stayed on that track and learned a lot. I remember being at, I was friends with Tehillah, and I remember being at his house for the Seders and all hours of the night talking. He just encouraged questions. He wanted, questions. He loved just having discussions with us, and it was really very, very special. And yeah, everyone talks about the twinkle in his eye, and I remember it very, very clearly. So yeah, I'll be forever grateful for, the creation of Task and, the relationship we had. And yeah, I'm very thankful for those years.
Thank you, Toby. What I remember about the Seders at the Rosenthals was we never really got past the first couple of pages because we would have so much discussion and questions, and then all of a sudden we would realize it was getting late and we had to make a mad rush to get in time for midnight. So we would start rushing through the rest, but that was part of the beauty of it. I see that that Dr. Nimotin is here, and I know that he wanted to share a little bit about the creation of Task. I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. Or as Rabbi Rosenthal would call you, Dr. Nimutton, I remember he used to pronounce your name. One of the things that Craig Schaefer commented after the passing of the rabbi was that one of the great achievements in the leadership of Rabbi Rosenthal was his ability to bring together sort of an unlikely crew of parents, especially from all different backgrounds, who were instrumental in leading the school, developing the school, and keeping it afloat for all those years. And of course, Dr. Nimotin was one of them, who even made the supreme sacrifice of working bingo. And so I think it would be a great honor to hear from Dr. Nimotin. So I'm going to put you on. If you could unmute yourself, though. I think you're muted. Does anybody? Let's see. I don't know if I can.
See, my mic is not too functional.
We heard you, and then you got muted again.
See, I hear Iha, Nico. I don't know how to kill it. You hear me clear?
We do, we do.
We hear your echo, but we can hear you fine. It's okay.
Okay, excellent.
You should turn off your speak. Turn off your mute your speaker. If you mute your speaker, you will. If you mute your speaker, you will not have any feedback.
You see, where is my? I have two mics.
It looks like you're participating as two different,
That's right.
different devices.
That is so confusing. I put so let me see if I keep so. Okay, now I don't see myself. So you hear Eva also, or you hear me directly?
We hear you.
We hear the echo, but it's okay.
All
It's
right,
okay.
excellent. Anyway, I have just one quick comment. When I think about Rabbi Rosenthal, what comes to my mind is a face of Rabbi Kahana. It's kind of counterintuitive, but that's what it is. Both men were at war. One was fighting for Yiddishkeit. The other was fighting against anti-Semitism and the big sins. And what you could see in their faces was that it was tiredness. like it was not tiredness of desperation, but it was tiredness of effort. It was hard work on both sides. Robert Rosenthal's battleground was running past the Shiva. And the two biggest enemies, kind of, but it was a war for finding and war for recruitment, uphill battles. Robert
Rosenthal was very inspired in his war, and he was very inspiring for us, for people on the board. Because I remember meetings where our budget was around zero, and we thought, okay, what do we do next? And but his enthusiasm getting us through every crisis, it was almost a miracle. And you could see that it was tiring. His face showed it, but his actions didn't. He was always on the move. Rabbi Kahane's
battleground was against anti-Semitism.
And the war is still raging, as you know, day after day after day.
I remember one presentation
he made on Long Island.
You could feel
that he was practically hitting the wall with the establishment. Rabbi Rosenthal obviously was on his team. And the face of Rabbi Kahane showed that he was tired of the battle, but his actions didn't. He was fighting until the last moment. And so that's my parallel.
So putting it together, to be on the winning side
in both wars, both for Yiddish war against Antisemitism, we need more Rosenthal.
We need more Kahanes. We kind of need more of these two men in us, in our kids, and in our grandkids. And thanks very much for setting up this Zoom meeting.
Okay, my understanding is we have a video now that we're going to be showing. I'm gonna hand Naomi, you know how that's gonna work. Okay, so I'm gonna, you know how to take over and make it show. Okay.
Hi, my name is Deborah Lorber Tolchin. Rabbi Rosenthal was the principal in the Seattle Hebrew Academy throughout most of my elementary school years. He left when I was in seventh grade to YOH, and YOH opened for girls in time for me to begin high school there. My memories of him from elementary school are through the eyes of the child I was. I've taught yeshiva day schools for 26 years, and I often reflect upon the similarities and differences between the school experiences of today's students versus my own. In my memory of elementary school, Rabbi Rosenthal commanded a level of respect. It wasn't fun to be sent to the principal's office, and I don't recall that we students did much talking back to him. When he entered our classrooms, we stood up, and when we retook our seats, we sat up straighter. In second grade, Rabbi Rosenthal visited our classroom to talk about Sukkot. I eagerly waved my hand in the air and shared that my father had tried to build our sukkah the evening before, and it had fallen down. Rabbi Rosenthal looked at me deadpan and informed me that there was a special bracha for that, and proceeded to recite at Sukkot David Hanofalet. He asked me if I understood what Hanofalet meant and then laughed uproariously at his own joke. In third grade, Rabbi Rosenthal was my Humash teacher. Prior to third grade, we learned Humash stories from a book written in modern Hebrew. But in third grade, we got our first Humash. I didn't grow up in a frum home. I was the only child of two Holocaust survivors who were very traditional, but who couldn't help me with Limudei Kodesh. I was so excited to bring home my first Humash and read the Pesukim to my mother. In school, we started with Shmot, and to this day, I hear those beginning parshiot of Sefer Shmot. Whenever I hear them, I hear Rabbi Rosenthal's voice. For some reason, I also hear his voice singing Utsu Eitzav Vetufar at school assemblies, a reminder to all us teachers that you never know just what exactly will stick in our students' heads. Here's another example. One day when I was in fourth grade, I was running in the hall for the girls' bathroom when I heard a loud Dvorah. I froze and turned guiltily toward Rabbi Rosenthal. Come back here, he boomed, and walk. Unbeknownst to Rabbi Rosenthal, I was running because I had stepped in something a dog left on the street. As I trudged back toward him, I debated holding up my smelly shoe and quickly discarded the notion. I nodded that I understood I had broken a cardinal rule by running in the halls of SHA and turned to walk slowly. Once he stepped back into his office and shut the door, of course, I sprinted to the bathroom. On April 28, 1977, my father was the victim of a violent crime and severely brain damaged. That day was a Thursday, and my life was forever altered. I was out of school that Friday in the hospital with my mother. 3 days later, on Sunday, it just so happened that there was some event for fifth graders from the Seattle Hebrew Academy and other places. Rabbi Rosenthal drove to my house Sunday morning to pick me up as my mother didn't at that point drive and was obviously overwhelmed. He asked me how I was doing, took me to his house for a brief period, where Penny and Babe informed me that they had strict orders not to ask me about anything and behave naturally. And then he drove me to the event and drove me home afterward. In subsequent years, Rabbi Rosenthal and Fruma invited my mother and me over for a handful of meals on Chagim. No matter that they knew my mother drove, as did other key people in Seattle at that time, they understood that including us, the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro was the important thing, and that it was experiences like these given so sensitively and without fanfare that laid the groundwork for my becoming observant later on. When I paid a Shiva call in Teaneck on the last night of Shiva, the family talked about how Rabbi Rosenthal felt his mission in life was to go to places where there were no Jewish schools and establish schools. As an early graduate of YOH, I can attest that many of us would not have had a Jewish high school experience were it not for YOH. At that time in Seattle, some parents sent their kids out of town beginning at age 14 to places like Denver, and others sent to public school. YOH was a unique place. Our lineup of Rebbeim included Rabbi Moskowitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rabbi Fox, and then in my senior year of high school, Rabbi Zucker. The emphasis wasn't on amassing a breadth of knowledge. Rather, we were encouraged to question and challenge. Perhaps the two could have been more balanced, but the approach most certainly fostered engagement in class and beyond. When we had NCSY Shabbatonim with kids from all along the West Coast in Canada, it was the YOH kids who voluntarily and naturally flocked to the learning sessions, participated actively, and pulled the others along. As a high school student, my world was classes and friends. Rabbi Rosenthal was a presence, but I didn't give much thought as to what was going on behind the scenes. During Shiva, I listened to Fruma speak about how he went door to door to meet with potential donors and collect money. It wasn't his natural strength. He would have preferred to be learning himself, but with grit, determination, steadfastness, and resoluteness, he pounded the pavement day after day and put himself out there in a way that was not necessarily easy or comfortable for him. so that the students of Seattle could have an in-town Jewish high school education. Thank you, Rabbi Rosenthal, for your remarkable and unwavering commitment, for the influence and efforts we know about, and for those we may not even be aware of on behalf of the Jewish youth of Seattle. Thank you as well for the people and places you touched and impacted in various ways, including establishing other schools during your years after Seattle. May the way you tenaciously yet humbly pursued your goal, often at great personal sacrifice, be a lesson for us all. Yehei zichrocha baruch, may your memory be for a blessing.
That was beautiful. I wanted to, I think the plan was now to open up the floor if there is anybody who wanted to share, felt comfortable sharing a few words of tribute or any memories. Feel free to unmute yourself and jump in.
I was way past the time that Rabbi Rosenthal was in Seattle. I knew him more through the Masoret years. But I will say, apropos Simon's comment about the trumpet, that one of the people I spoke to about possibly speaking who wasn't able to participate said he was too young to remember anything, but he does remember that Rabbi Rosenthal would play the trumpet on Rosh Chodesh Adar. That was the memory that he shared. So thank you, Simon, for bringing that up.
Hi, I wanted to share a little bit of my memories with Rabbi Rosenthal and Task in general. And can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, we hear.
Yeah, okay. Oh, thanks. Brought back so many memories and so many things that I'm grateful for. He just had such an impact on our lives. You know, my friends from high school are just what he established there, what he did to create. I remember him coming to our house and sort of imploring my family to join Task and to, you know, support the school. And it was definitely something that needed to be, you know, it was a struggle. Like my, you know, parents weren't sold at first, but I was in seventh grade. And I remember him telling my parents, "We're into the school. We need more kids, and she needs to be in a Jewish environment." And just had a massive impact on my family, my life for the future, my friends, my community. It is, you know, Task is very dear in my heart, and I just we wouldn't have. You know, I wouldn't be where I am if not for him, if he didn't establish a school and just give us a way of thinking. Like Toby said, he taught us how to think. He just imbued warmth and caring, which I think, you know, him coming to my house and sitting on our couches and just imploring us, who does that, you know? And just such an amazing thing to go into a community and just search for kids who need a place and who he really made Task a home. And I think that's just something very special, and I'm very grateful to have been part of that.
I'll just jump in if I think Gefit's done. Just to, you know, thank Rabbi Rosenthal publicly for giving me this community of friends that I only went to TAS for 1 year, but you know, I'm still friends with so many people, and not just on a social level, but like I had the opportunity to have best friends that really like shared my values, and we had you know, commonalities regardless of our walks of life, but just because we shared a like a similar outlook. And of course, the ultimate friendship is I met my husband in TASC. I mean, it took us 25 years to reconnect, but we wouldn't have met without TASC. So I have a lot of Hakara Tov to that.
Beautiful.
Can I jump in here? Hi. I met Rabbi Rosenthal really as an adult, not as a child, not in any of the schools, but it was his penchant for starting schools that really set me on a very different path in life. I was in Israel for the year. I was with Tehillah, and Naomi and Liba, and I was planning to go to MIT. I was planning to be a civil or mechanical engineer. I was not planning to be in Chinuch, which is where I am right now. And Tehillah wanted to learn after Israel. And as we learned, as we heard from Shiva, anyone who's in Rabbi Rosenthal's family, if you want to learn Torah, you just kind of ask him, hey, I want to learn Torah. And he figures out how you could learn Torah. He sets up a school. No big deal. I'll just start a school for you. So I sort of got roped into that. I became one of the, they needed five people to start the school, and they grabbed me in. And there were certain things about Torah that he introduced that I had never seen before. The type of Torah that he had, there were questions that I had, and I heard people asking the questions, but I never heard good answers before the type of Torah that he introduced. And I became very, very enamored of this type of Torah, but that was the first direction he set me on. And then he roped me in again and got me to teach a task. And I had never taught before. I was an utterly inexperienced teacher. I don't remember how old I was. It was so many years ago. It was in 1999. And he said, oh, teach. I don't know how to teach. I had a kid. He said, this was very interesting. It was allowed. I think, I don't know if it was Rabbi Rosenthal Sr. or Rabbi Rosenthal Jr. They had this idea. I should come teach and I should bring my baby. Just bring the baby to class. No big deal. And to have women learning, being encouraged in this way, that bring the baby, let the girls see that you're learning Torah and you have a baby. And okay, so we had to stop the class. Sometimes I had to feed the baby. I had to shake the baby to bed, to sleep. I was pacing around the class while I was teaching, but it was just an unbelievable experience that I got to teach whatever Torah I wanted and bring my child with me to teach Torah. And it really set me on a very, very different path of life because of these schools that he taught. And there was one other thing that he used to do that I used to go to Sunday Shir. Rabbi Tate's Sunday Shir every week. It was from like 10:30 to 12:30, 2 hours of Shir. And every Monday, very casually, he would say, so how was Shir on Sunday? And I'd say, it was good. But that was not good enough. It was good. New? Give it some over. So the first few times I was really caught off guard. Like, here he is sort of interrogating me on what this 2 hour shir was. I started preparing. I started doing chazar. It was a 45 minute drive to task from where I was. And every Monday morning, I would go through the points in my mind so that I could say them in an orderly manner so that I could please Rabbi Rosenthal. And I got better and better and better at it because his way of training me to be a teacher was so subtle and so natural and so joyful and so careful and so pleasant. I almost didn't notice that he was training me to observe, to take main points, to give it over. And he just very naturally trained me into this. And so when I was thinking about Rabbi Rosenthal, Rabbi Mann, who was the teacher that Rabbi Rosenthal had gotten to teach in Masoret, and it was like we got a celebrity. I didn't know what I was walking into. We got Rabbi Mann. Rabbi Mann's going to teach us. I had no idea who Rabbi Mann was, but he ended up being really a very special Rabbi in my life, my Rav Movhak. And Rabbi Mann had said once about a person is Chayav Adam Liros Atzmo Ki'ilu Yatza Mitzrayim. Every generation, a person has to envision that Hashem took him out of Egypt. And what does it mean, Hashem took him out of Egypt? Hashem took us out of Egypt many, many generations ago. What does that mean? He took me out of Egypt personally. And he gave an example. Let's say there's a person who builds playgrounds all over the place. He builds playgrounds because he believes that children need to play. Now, this person who built a playground, and he's planning for all these children to play, does he know, did he have in mind this children, this child personally? I'm there, I'm a child, I'm playing on the playground. Did he have me in mind personally? And the answer is yes. He had in mind every single child that will benefit from this playground. He had in mind, he wanted every child to have access. And I was thinking that's really Rabbi Rosenthal in his way of being Marbitz Torah. He wants every Jew to have access to Torah. He wants every single child to have a Jewish education. And he did whatever he could to do that. And I was Zocha to experience that, to benefit from that and come out of my own personal Mitzrayim and to enjoy the Torah that he gave us access to. So thank you, Rabbi Rosenthal.
I don't want to put any pressure on anybody to speak who doesn't feel comfortable. So I always get stuck with this job of being the speaker. I guess I have Rabbi Rosenthal to thank for that too. On the just a closing thought. So many of the things that everyone has said today.
Josh, you mind if I could?
Incredibly moving and really resonated with me. And I'm sure with all of us, as we had this common experience of learning with Rabbi Rosenthal or from Rabbi Rosenthal, whether directly or indirectly. And
Josh, I think Mendel wants to say a few words.
Oh, please. Okay.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah. Wait, I'm gonna put you in the thing. Hold on.
Okay. I don't have my video on, so I'm just gonna use my audio. But many of the, I had the privilege of being able to attend a school that Rabbi Rosenthal. Senior started task to Academy of Suffolk County. I come from Pittsburgh, and I was dealing with my own challenges, and task was a place that really opened my eyes to another life, another possibility, and I can't think of an aspect of my life today that can't be traced back to task. There are things that precipitated task. I would say there was a life before task, and a life after task. And, over the years, I never realized how much of an impact Rabbi Rosenthal Sr. had on my life, but also, I guess more specifically, in creating tasks, right, with whoever he did, that had such a complete effect on my life that you could say there was a life before and a life since. And, being married to my wife, Erica, who also attended task, who I met at task, whose Rabbeim opened my eyes to a whole different life, it's incredible. It's very difficult to wrap my mind completely around how, impactful this this person was, directly, indirectly, on my life. So I just want to give a public thank you and publicly share some Hakaras HaTov for his incredible life and his incredible action and his incredible effect, specifically his incredible effect on my life. So thank you.
Josh?
Yes,
Josh,
yes.
I just want to say briefly. I just want to say on behalf of the family, my sisters, my mom, who are on the call, just to thank you everybody for coming, and to sharing your experiences, and very meaningful and very touching to each and every one to us. And I think that I want everybody to know that he loved as Chazal say, Shnat Levanecha. You should teach your children diligently. Elu Tamidecha, and these are your students. And the fact that my father's mantra in life was to have a deep love and concern for both his biological children, such as myself, but as well as the hundreds, if not thousands, of children that he had the opportunity to teach Torah directly or through the schools that he created. And I think he would, if he was on the call, he first of all, he'd be embarrassed by all this a little bit, because a little bit self-effacing. But he would also feel, I think, good, the fact that he would shep nachas about everybody here who, because of the schools, has grown to become the people that they are today. And I think he would be very proud of all that you have become. And I just wanted to say thank you.
This is Fruma Rosenthal. Hearing this is probably, I don't know if it's the last time we're going to have this kind of Zoom meeting with people who experienced an education which my husband provided. But I have to say that we've been hearing this over and over, and I must say how shocked, overwhelmed the family is by what we've heard over the last, right, 5 weeks. And sometimes you don't, as you're going into the business of building a school and so on, and difficulties, that you don't realize and don't stop around to think what this did. And it gave us, me and the kids, it gave us a tremendous amount of, in one way it was like, it's so heartening and it's wonderful. On the other hand, you say, you only hear this when the person has died. I think he would be tremendously shocked, because I don't think he ever mentioned that. And in fact, I can't remember him expressing really saying, you know, wow, what did I do? I don't think I ever heard him say that. And, you know, it was always like, well, you know, I used to point out to him and said, that's a Talmud, you know, and Josh is a Talmud and Yehuda Rapport is a Talmud, you know, and how it would come up through the years. And he would, and Jessica Singer, and she's also did very nicely for herself, and so on, and came to Israel. And all in all, that's nice, but he couldn't say for himself that, wow, this is what I did. And I think the humility of a person like this is something which we can, and you have tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. And he took it in a manner which was very, very humble. And self-effacing, and I think that was a thing that comes through all the time. You know, and we are, as a family, we're tremendously grateful that you set this all up, and you had an opportunity to say what you said about your my husband, and that your experiences and the change he made in your lives. I just want to say, I have a Hakaras HaTov to you guys that you set it up, and all the people who came. It was it's a tremendous feeling. That all it was hard work. There's no question it was hard work. It was very difficult, but it ain't safek that when you look back and you say how everybody benefited, that it was, to say it was all worth it was from my point of view, it was not easy at all, but it was all it was definitely worth it in the end. It gives you a big feel of chizuk, and you say, you know, this is a life well lived, and when you can say, look back and you say that, then you've really, it gives you, no matter the end of your life, and you say, look, this, it was a life well lived. This is a tremendous feeling. Thank you very, very much for expressing your feelings, getting together, and yishkoach to all. Thank you very, very much.
May I say a couple of words? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, sorry, I was in the car. I pulled over because I wasn't going to say anything, but I've just been really moved by this. And I say this all the time to folks. I know Erica has heard me say this a trillion times, but without TASC, I don't think I would be at all Jewishly involved. I came from obviously Russia and then some really tough personal circumstances, and then Torah Academy for Girls, which was a difficult place to be after not really being involved in Judaism at all, and then suddenly having to wear skirts to my ankles and not really being able to ask any questions. And coming to TASC made me closely connected to Judaism, much closer. And having my own kids, I find myself reiterating some things that actually Rabbi Rosenthal Jr. has said before. I even, would again, as Erica's also involved in this as well, I would ask Erica, what did Rabbi Rosenthal say about XYZ? And so I'm really, really grateful for that experience. During a time of extreme personal turbulence and some life circumstances, having that stability and kindness and community in TASC was, I think it would have fallen through the cracks. Was it not there? And I actually feel really moved right now. And my voice is cracking because I feel really sad about it, because I wish I said all these things earlier and have been more involved, but here I am. So thank you so much for what your father did and for what you did for me and for everyone else. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Okay, can I hop in for a sec? It's Jessica Singer. Sorry that I am coming in at the tail end. I'm here in Israel and just got one kid to sleep. A lot of what you guys said just really very strongly resonates with me. I came to TASC from public school, and I was all fired up from NCSY, but I didn't really know very much about, the system and about reading Rashi and, going through the texts. And I really got a really solid, beautiful foundation from TASC. And, while I was there, I feel like I had a second family. And for me, that family is still with me. My bestest friends from TASC are still my bestest friends, and I'm still very close with the Rosenthals. At the time, I took classes with Rabbi Junior, and then I got to know Rabbi Rosenthal Senior and Mrs. Rosenthal later on when I moved to Israel, and I had the opportunity to go to them for meals on Shabbos, and that's when I felt like I really got to deepen my relationship with them. And I felt like when I walked in the door, it could go years without seeing them. There was one point where I had gone, 10 years without seeing them. They hadn't seen me. And I felt like I walked right into my family, and I'm so grateful. And similar to what Mendel said, I can't think of one aspect of my life that is not impacted from my education and my experience at TASC. I mean, everything from where I went to seminary, where I went to college, my career, the man I married, the family that I have, that I live in Israel, everything goes back to TASC. And I'm just really grateful because it was either that or schlepping on the Long Island Railroad for 2 hours to get to Queens or Brooklyn or something. So I'm really just so grateful for everything. And what I never appreciated until recently is that the amount of sacrifice that it must have taken the Rosenthals, and when I say the Rosenthals, I mean the whole family, both Rabbi Senior, Rabbi Junior, his whole family, the amount of sacrifice that it must have taken to schlep out to Comac, Kings Park Road, every day, and you know, during Chol HaMoed Sukkos, to spend your Chol HaMoed Sukkos with us, playing music in the sukkah instead of being with your family, you know, and spending your life and time with us instead of, you know, being in a huge community in Far Rockaway. And that's something that I'm as an adult who, thank God, I, you know, live in Israel now, but I look back and I think, my God, like, what were they thinking? They must have been extremely dedicated. So, you know, I'm so grateful for everything that you've given me. And at the same time, I want to say it's really nice to see a lot of familiar faces here. And I'll always carry Rabbi Rosenthal's memory with me.
Beautiful.
Would it be all right if I said a few things, or is everyone hoping to check out? I'm not going to be long.
Go for it, Jody. Go for it.
Okay, hold on a second. Yeah. Hello. I have a very similar story to Jessica, and also Dina, who, you know, I love to this day, very close with at the time. And I go through life even now, having had memories of Task and the Rosenthals and everyone, realizing in retrospect how many people that I hold a Karas HaTov for, and how when you look back, sometimes it's from the least expected sources. But when it comes to Rabbi Rosenthal, it's the most obvious a Karas HaTov, because it is basically the source of everything that's come after. And it's true that I also came from public school, and I wasn't involved in NCSY or anything like that. I was involved in more of the reform NCSY, which was called Lifty or whatever. And I was in public school. I was very unhappy. And I wanted to be more around people, you know, that were like Lifty, that were Jewish kids. My mother comes and tells me, she actually used to work for the Suffolk Y, and she comes and tells me, well, I do know of a yeshiva high school in Suffolk County, but you realize that it's Orthodox, right? And I said, okay, so? And she's like, well, you want to go check it out? Sure, I'll check it out. And I go with my mother one afternoon, directly after public school, because of course public school ends at 2 o'clock, and the task was still open. So we tread on out there, and I'm just looking around, meeting everybody. Most people were in class there, and we met with Rabbi Rosenthal, we met with Rabbi Bora, and they asked if I wanted to go into one of the classes and sit in a little while. I said, no, I really don't want to. I'm not dressed appropriately. And later on, that was one thing that Rabbi Rosenthal told my mother that he was very impressed with. That more we get to know him, he'll make a more of a point to point out, you know, that skirt should be a little lower. You know, he'd point to your knee, like lower, lower, lower. And so I think that's something that he appreciated, and I was very touched that he appreciated it, even though he didn't really say it in words. As I was leaving, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, maybe as I was leaving, a lovely girl who I'll always remember, and who I also have a lot of Karas HaTov to, was was Reva, or Rhonda Levine, who was playing basketball just by herself. And she comes over and talks. So she's like, so how'd you like it? Are you going to come back? Are you going to try for a day? I was like, well, I don't know. And my mother starts asking her questions. And she's like, oh, but, well, you should try. You know, everything worked out for me. I also was a similar situation as you. And I came and everyone was so welcoming. My grades shot up. And there was really a concentration of learning that and welcoming that can't be matched. And I said, you know, I wasn't sure I was just going to go back to the, you know, public school the next day. But I said, okay, I'll come for a day, the whole day. And to this day, I mean, and when I heard about Rabbi Rosenthal's passing, I immediately envisioned for myself personally, I know Rabbi Rosenthal obviously is a source of a lot of everyone's futures and successes. But for me, I had this vision of Rabbi Rosenthal and Reva together, because unfortunately she's also not with us anymore, looking down and me finally being able to show them such a Hakaras HaTov, even though I didn't get to in life. And I just wanted to share that and how his memory will always be important to me, because it's the source of everything I am now. And just like Mendel said perfectly, that there's a before task and there's an after task, you know, BT and AT, and that's very true. And I owe him that very much. And thank you all for listening.
Beautiful.
I don't want to jump the gun again. If there's anybody else who wanted to come and say any last words. I did. I put into the chat here, into the meeting chat, the link to the Hesped that I wrote and published online. So everyone is certainly, you know, invited, welcome to read that. Some of it overlaps with things that I said at the funeral. Some of it is in addition to that. And I'd be happy for everyone to take a look if they have the time. I just wanted to close with one very brief last word of that I remember. Jesse had mentioned something that Rabbi Mann said, and I remember something from many, many years ago that Rabbi Mann said also. I don't remember what the context was anymore. But he said something about in Shemot, where it talks about the midwives, and it says God was good to the midwives. And the people grew to be very great and very numerous, very powerful. And then in the next verse, it says, because the midwives feared God, he made families for them. And so I remember Rabbi Mann pointing out, why does it interrupt? It says that God was good to the midwives and the people became very numerous. The Jewish people became very numerous. And only then does it say that because they feared God, he made for them families of their own. And so Rabbi Mann, I remember, said, I hope I'm quoting him correctly, it was probably decades ago that I heard it, but it always stuck with me, that what was the real reward for the midwives? It was that the people became very numerous. Because what was their whole purpose? Their whole purpose and all that they did was to see to it that there was continuity, that the Jewish people weren't extinguished. And for a person who's really making sacrifices and devoting themselves to the good of the nation, their first measure of success is in seeing the growth of that nation. And I think that Rabbi Rosenthal, he took genuine I wouldn't say the word pride because I can't put the word pride and Rabbi Rosenthal in the same sentence. He was too self-effacing and humble. And anytime I tried to speak too much about what he had done for me, it wasn't his cup of tea. He didn't want that. But I think his greatest satisfaction was in seeing the products that he was able to bring forth from all of us, many of us, our children, our children's children, and so on and so forth, who are all going to be the beneficiaries. That was his success. That was what brought him satisfaction. And to see that and to have that feeling that his work was certainly not in vain, I think that is the greatest tribute to him. We're all a tribute to him in the lives that we're leading now, not just in this Zoom call, but in everything that we're doing that has been touched by him and shaped by him, and that effect will continue indefinitely. So thank everybody for joining. I had nothing to do with the organization. Please don't give me credit for that. I was tasked. I'm using that as a verb, as a, you know, no pun intended, with the job of being the host. But really, it was others behind the scenes that I thanked in the beginning, and probably more people who simply told me, you are going to be the person who is the MC. And I said, okay. So I have to give everybody credit for being a part of it. And all of the words that were shared, they really resonated and were very beautiful. And hopefully we can meet on happy occasions and think of other ways that we can continue the good work of Rabbi Rosenthal, Zichrono Levracha, for many generations to come. I know that it's already begun to change the way I've thought about things that I do in my life and what I should be doing. And I'm sure that's been for many of us. So hopefully we will take inspiration from this. And I look forward to seeing. It was nice to see all of our old task friends. And God willing, we should meet for happy occasions. Thank you, everybody, so much.
Thank you.